would take on a terrible death for our life. Father, help us never to get numb to that. Help us to rejoice and sing our own personal songs of gratitude and just songs of awe, songs of just admiration for the love that you continually to bestow on us, the grace that you offer every single day, the grace of us breathing and seeing and walking and fellowshipping. Father, the family, the household that you've created in the church. Father, we pray that the world would, Father, be taken from our hearts and our souls. That, Father, we would have heavenly thoughts, heavenly convictions, that we would not be seduced by the world's materialism and Father, just lack of reverence for you. Help us, Father, to be great ambassadors. We pray that this morning in our discussion, and Father, we would leave here with deeper convictions. And for those of us who, Father, are not Christians, that we would simply consider all that you've done for us. That, Father, decisions will be made today to make you Lord of lives. We thank you for this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This has been a great morning, great time of worship. Some mornings are better than others. Mine, for me, was a very challenging morning. First of all, I was thankful for the breakfast bar because I was able to eat. Sean has been working late hours at Texas Roadhouse, so he got off like around, 1 o'clock in the morning. I went and picked him up because his scooter is on the brink, so he's gonna get another scooter. But went to bed around 2 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know who I am this morning. So I need your help. All right, I need your help, okay? Can y'all help me out? You got to help me out with this sermon here this morning. By the way, I believe that this is the most amazing pulpit simply because not who stands in it, but who is in this room. You see, I get the opportunity every Sunday that I preach to share some things, but also to hear some things. And the way that this church shares and your courage, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk in front of people, but the feedback and the answers to questions and the sharing of your heart, your convictions, not only does it minister to others, it ministers to me. When I hear your feedback, hear your thoughts, your convictions, that encourages me, so I get to preach a sermon and also hear a few. It's a blessed pulpit. And I want to encourage you to understand that your comments are important. Someone will leave here this morning not remembering what I said, but what you said through God's Spirit. And so I want to encourage you and thank you for the way that you comment, the way you participate, because I believe we get far more from the body of Christ sharing than from one man. And so my prayer is that you will understand how important you are as an ambassador to Christ wherever you go, on your job, at school, in your neighborhood, with family this holiday season, amen? You're an ambassador. Share with courage. Share your journey. Share your life. Share your story, because you do have a story, right? Amen? We all have stories. I want to share a story from God's Word this morning. A story that is about a teenager. She's a virgin. She's from Nazareth. She's engaged to a man named Joseph. They're excited about their relationship. And one day, an angel appeared to Mary and told her that the Lord was with her and that she would be okay, and she began to wonder about this meeting, as I'm sure you would too. Angel comes, talks to her, told her not to be afraid, that she had found favor, blessing from God. And I'm sure that stirred up her curiosity. Told her that she would give birth to a son, that she would have a baby boy, and he would be great. He would also be called the Son of the Most High. This son would reign over the house of Jacob, and he would reign forever. Now you can imagine this teenager, this virgin, seeing this angel, hearing this angel, and what he had to say, had some questions. And she said, how could this be? How could this be? I'm still a virgin. And an angel said that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. The Holy Spirit would come upon her. He also told her that nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded in a very amazing way. She said, Lord, I'm your slave. I'm your slave. I'm your servant. Even though I don't understand, I'm your servant. Let it be done as you say. As you say. Do you remember this Bible story? You remember it? It's one that's told oftentimes during this time of the year. And I want to ask you a question. What do you like about this story? What do you like about this story? The heart to accept what God was saying through this angel. Okay, awesome. Yeah, yeah, what you like, yeah. Yeah, the faith that she displayed, yes. Yeah, what transpired to give her that faith? Okay. All right. She probably knew the scriptures a little bit, right? And she was from that line, and so she knew the scriptures, and faith comes from hearing the word, right? So that was definitely a way, but to have that kind of faith, to be able to say, I'm your slave. You said it. Let it be done. Powerful. Yes. Yeah, and teenager. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I love that. You know, many times I go, oh, that's for old folk. Well, you know, David was a teenager. Many of those in the scriptures, they were teenagers. And that's an awesome, awesome point. Yeah. What's do you like about it? Yes. And I also appreciate the fact that Yes. Yeah. 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 Remember that song we sang often? God moves in a mysterious way. You know, sometimes that bothers some of us who want to God to move the way that we want him to move. we don't like adventure, right? But that's an awesome, awesome point. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yep. God can use anybody who has the heart to listen and obey and submit to his will. And let me ask you another question. What bothers you about the story? Anything bother you about it? And we can be honest, we're family, right? I know, that's maybe unspiritual to say what bothers me about God. Well, what bothers you about it? You're human, yes. Yeah. Ah, yeah. But what about Joseph? I mean, that's troubling. Wouldn't it be, brothers? Yeah. Holy Spirit, huh? Yeah, don't run that by me. Don't get spiritual on me. Yeah. One more. Yes. Ah, yeah. How come not have a little family time and talk about it, right? Yeah, yeah. A little devotional. Yes. Wow. Wow. Dangerous thing, and we don't read that. It's not in the Bible, but think it through. There were some serious tough times for Mary and Joseph. You know that, and for the family. There was definitely challenging times. Yes, Bill. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It never been done. Never. I mean, I can see if, you know, yeah, you know, 3 years ago, so-and-so, but never the Holy Spirit impregnating her. That was odd. That was something that was not normal. What do you learn about the nature of God in this story? Learn anything about the nature of God? Yeah, yeah. Creativity. Yeah, a miracle, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, God confirming her by saying, you are the one I've chosen. Even though you're going to go through a lot, but I've chosen you for this. And sometimes we want God to unconfirm us, right? No, I don't want that position. You know, fire me. But he says, no, you're the right person for that job. Pretty encouraging. Somebody had a hand? Yes. That's right. That's right. He's going to make it happen because it's his will. And so, and I don't ever talk about politics from the pulpit. And I'll just say this. Things that happen in the world are all led by the will of God and allowed by the will of God for the purposes of God. And so many times we spend time complaining and worrying and arguing when it's God's will. He's allowing it for some mysterious reason at times. What do you learn about, you know anything about the nature of man in this story? The nature of man? Well, or woman? What do you learn? Anything you learn? Yes. Lack of faith. Lack of faith. How can this be? You know, sometimes we doubt the power, the design of God, because it doesn't fit in our box, right? Somebody, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Skepticism. Yeah. Don't understand it. A little fearful. Like Bill said, it's kind of new. It's hadn't happened before. I want to see the model. You know, what, do I have to be the one that initiates this? Yeah. Yeah. God's ways are not. We wouldn't have designed this, right? We wouldn't have gone here. We'd have done something else. Yes. Yes, ma'am. We'll find out in heaven. Good question. All I know is, what did the angel say? Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman! The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. And the angel left her. Verse 28. The angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Rejoice, you favored woman." I know some of you out there are going, "That ain't favored." I don't know why you say that's favored, Gabriel. That's kind of messed up. That's a little hard to grasp, being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, the angel said, "You are favored, free giving of grace." What he's saying is that, rejoice, you don't deserve this honor. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. It's grace. There are other virgins in Nazareth, but God chose you. And it's grace. Verse 29. But, you know, that's what you say, Gabriel. But she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. What do you think she was troubled about? She's favored. There's grace. What do you think she was troubled about? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sure, not going to find favor. Man's not going to think she's favored. That's tough. Yeah, Jane. Yeah, yeah. It would, but wouldn't that be grace? Wouldn't that be some type of favor? Something we don't deserve? A message from the Lord? Yeah, Jenny. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. He delivered a message. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure she was fearful. I know I'm fearful of some of the things I read. I know I'm fearful of God's word at times. And what does it mean for me? Yeah, Lavinia. Whoa, yeah. Yeah, oh, great point. Can I do this? I mean, you've chosen me for this, but can I do it? And, of course, the answer is no, you can't. Neither can I. Yeah. Ah. Well, see, that's a great point. She goes, "Well, why me? Am I worthy to be this, to be blessed with a baby, even from the Holy Spirit?" Now, you know, Mary understood that there were other matriarchs back in the Old Testament that had problems giving birth, that had problems getting pregnant. And so she could have been going, "Why me? I don't deserve this. They're more spiritual than I was or I am. I get this honor." Maybe she was thinking that. Yes. I'm sorry, I got to choose my wife. I got to get to you. Yeah. It's just a wise thing. Yeah. Good thing, yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's so far beyond me. Yeah, Steve. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. And great point. This is before Jesus, you know, obviously was born and became flesh and made his dwelling among us. They feared God, feared angels. She began to wonder, we wonder, even grace can perplex us, confuse us, and get us to wonder. Just like Mary, grace can even frighten us. It can frighten us. The grace of healing may have the face of a surgeon's knife. The grace of healing may have the face of a surgeon's knife. The grace of unity may have the face of a difficult talk. The grace of patience may have the face of pain and long-suffering. The grace of humility may have the face of defeat. May have the face of defeat. Verse 30, he said, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. I know I'm an angel. I know this task is crazy and it's beyond you. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor, grace with God. Whether you want to believe it or not, or feel like you're deserving or not, you found favor with God. Let the favor statement take away your fear, Mary. A surgeon's knife, don't fear it. The difficult talk, don't fear it. The pain and the defeat that we have in life, don't fear it, because the grace of God says you're favored. Now listen in verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Amazing. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Grace is presented to her. This is what God's going to do through you, Mary. The gift is open. It's a boy. It's a boy. Not only a boy, but his name will be Jesus. He will be a savior and a deliverer. That's your gift, Mary. He will be great. He will reflect the glory of God. He will be the image of the invisible God, Mary. He upholds the universe with his words. He will be called Son of the Most High. He will sit on David's throne. He will be king not only over Israel, but of the world, and his kingdom will never, ever, ever end. How would you have responded to such great grace in such a short, short notice of time? Well, it wasn't really a short notice. 500 years earlier in Daniel 8, Gabriel appears to the prophet David. 6 months earlier, Gabriel delivers God's message to Zechariah in Zechariah 1. So the message has been out. The prophecy has been out. Now it's coming. It's real. It's here. And in verse 34, Mary asks the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with the man?" Grace is questioned here. What do you think Mary is questioning? Maybe she's pondering Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." The timing of it all. Maybe she's questioning the timing of it all. "I just got engaged. I'm envisioning this in my life, and now you're throwing this curveball, even though it's a gracious curve. It's a curve nonetheless." Perhaps she's asking not how can this be, but how shall it be? How shall it be? I know it can, but how is it going to work its way out? Some of us, we get so tied up in the details. How shall this work? I can't see it. Mary may have understood the angel to be assuming an intimate pregnancy, meaning I'm going to get pregnant tomorrow. Perhaps Mary is questioning others who have had difficulty getting pregnant, like we talked about earlier. I love the response of Gabriel. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And he says, "Consider Elizabeth." Do you realize, Mary, nothing is impossible for God? Nothing is impossible for God. God's ability to have a new relationship with man will be possible. It's not only that nothing will be impossible, new things will be possible. Do you realize, Mary, during the birth of your son, new things will be possible? Man will be able to be reconciled with God. That's going to be possible. God's ability to connect with man in a deeper way will be possible. The flesh dwelling among them. It will be possible for God's spirit to be inside of a man, Mary. It will be possible for this sacrifice to cleanse man once for all, Mary. Verse 38. "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. What can we learn from Mary here? Well, she hears well, and she trusts, and she follows what she hears. Do you? Do you hear well? Do you listen to God? Do you hear well? Do you hear well? Do you read well? Do you hear well? And when you read and hear, do you listen and do you follow and obey what you hear? That's what I want to learn from Mary. Mary didn't question. She trusted. She's flexible. "Hear my plans, Lord. But why don't you go ahead and lead me? I'm going to write it all out. I'm going to write my plan from A to Z, and you guide me." She's flexible. She's sacrificial. She's humble. She's courageous. Could you imagine going against the grain? Some of us back in our day, we were so courageous with our faith. We'd go like, "It's me and God." Now it's me and everything else. What happened to that courageous spirit? Let's learn from Mary. You see, Mary had a true missionary spirit. And that's really the focus this morning, because we all we're talking about missionary, being a missionary this month, but she had a missionary spirit. She really did. What is the true missionary spirit? Minister Charles Finney on June 17, 1875 said, "A true missionary spirit is not a sense of obligation to labor for the salvation of souls. It's not a job," he said. "A true missionary spirit is not yielding to this conviction of duty. It's not a duty. What is it? It's true sympathy, a feeling of sorrow for someone's misfortune with the Spirit of Christ. It's having His Spirit. It's a love and concern for people and their relationship with God. Doesn't matter how they act, if they're kind, if they're mean, if they're ignorant, they're prejudiced. You're concerned about them and their relationship with God. It's a jealousy for the honor of God. That's a missionary spirit. It's a connection with Christ. It's having the concern of Christ. It's having a deep conviction like Christ. And it comes from a relationship with Christ. A true missionary spirit. Where there's no connection, there won't be any concern. There won't be any conviction. And so you won't live it throughout your day and throughout your week. You'll be so busy. You have the desire, but you won't have the conviction because you lack that connection. Little connection is little concern and little conviction. Real connection is real concern, real conviction. And that's why we talk about in our foundation statement that we don't want to just do the mission. We want to join Him in His mission. It's the connection of Christ. In the 1200, the connection is key to having this missionary spirit. Mary made this connection. And so can we. God bless. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this story, this example of a true missionary spirit. Father, we admire Mary's faith. We know that she had to go through so much. But yet, Father, she was so favored. And Lord, I pray that we would feel and understand and just grasp how favored we are to be able to walk and talk and see and breathe, to be able to have Your Holy Spirit inside of us, to have our sins cleansed and forgiven and forgotten and separated as far as the east is from the west, to have a body, to have a family, to have believers all around us, to have Your words right at our fingertips. Father, to have a hope in heaven. Father, we truly are blessed. We thank You for this day. We pray that all of us will have just a glorious, connected holiday season. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for a closing song and have a Merry Christmas.